You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance-off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, Spider-Gwen, the whole suit and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hey there, hi there, ho there. It's Friday night. Hey Kids Comics Radio Show. Martin Bruda here.
And Sam Tweedle.
And Sam's, Chris Gilpin.
Sam's not here. Chris is having conversations with him during the intro, so I'm assuming he's late.
He'll be here momentarily.
Yeah. So, what's up?
What's happening? What's going on?
Not much. You passed me a comic book. What is this?
Payment.
Yeah, but what
payment
is it?
For services rendered.
Tell the people what it is.
It's a Whitman copy of The Black Hole number four. Four, sorry. Apparently, it's one of those rare recalled comics.
Yeah. So, Gold Key.
Gold Key.
Why was I thinking black? Gold Key made some comic books, reprints and stuff. And one of the books that they made was the Black Hole movie adaptation, right?
Yeah.
So, the first three issues is the movie. Then they continued the story with issue four, which was only available in like some weird 3-pack or 2-pack bundled with some Disney comics
and
available at Byway or something. And
yeah,
so yeah, this is some people. Now you and I saw on the flea bay prices of like $700, $800, but nobody's selling it at that price.
Yeah. So when I found it, we could barely even find it anywhere. But now it seems to be actually selling. But that's because the comic book market's different now. Things are crazy. But anyways, it is what it is.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Hey, Sam. How are you today?
Hi, guys. Sorry,
Hi, Sam.
I'm just running a little late. I was just coming in from Lindsay. Look at that. Martin just gifted me. Well, actually, I'm buying it off him. A 14-inch Poison Ivy doll. Mego.
Nice.
A 14-inch Poison Ivy Mego. This is amazing. I have developed such a, it's only been in the last couple of years, like last year or two, all of a sudden, Poison Ivy's become a big deal for me.
Yeah.
I'm not traditionally, like, it's not a character I've loved my whole life, but just in the last few two years or so, I've become obsessed with this character. So this is so cool. I'm so in love with her.
I picked up the Green Lantern one off of Martin. I think he's the Mego dealer in Peterborough.
Oh, yeah, he pretty much is, eh?
I want that Batgirl.
I'm not going to say anything, but I did get a Batgirl.
Mm-hmm.
I have a Flash, a spare Flash, and a spare Superman.
Okay, but the Batgirl's not a spare.
It depends. I could be convinced.
Oh, yeah?
Because I got Wonder Woman, Batgirl, Batman, Green Lantern, Flash. I think that's it in the 14-inch.
Wow.
Yeah.
God, she's lovely. I really like her.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
I thought, like, when they came out with this, so anybody who doesn't know, Mego, 1970s, largest toy manufacturer for quite a few years there. They had little 8-inch action figures, cloth costumes of almost all the good superheroes back then. Spidey, Captain America, Superman, Batman. Heck, they even made Tarzan, and they made a Zorro.
Conan.
They made Conan.
They made the guy from Chips.
Thor. Yeah, and then they started getting into the TV licenses. So they got Planet of the Apes. They got Chips, like
Dukes
you said.
Hazzard.
Dukes of Hazzard.
They did Kiss. They did Menudo.
Oh, my God. What's the one I'm thinking of?
It's Menudo?
Like right on top of my head. No.
Oh.
Starsky and Hutch.
Yeah, they did Starsky and Hutch, yeah.
Fonzie. So anyways, they kind of, everyone says Star Wars and Kenner killed the line, but it didn't. Mego had some problems and some issues, and they did indeed pass on the Star Wars license. And The 8-inch action figures were so popular at the time, even G.I. Joe shrunk to 8-inch, mm-hmm. Super Joes, for a little while. And then Kenner came with the Star Wars and just wiped the floor with everybody with their 3 3/4. And
so is that why G.I. Joe changed to 3 3/4?
That's why G.I. Joe changed to 3 3/4 too.
This show is so informative.
Like G.I. Joe was the original 12-incher, right? Yeah. And then when Mego did the 8s, they started doing 8s as well. And then when Kenner with the Star Wars going crazy, when they relaunched G.I. Joe, they went 3 3/4. It's just one of those things where at that small scale, you still have playability, but then you can have like vehicles and playsets and stuff. Oh, can you imagine how big a 12-inch action figure TIE fighter would be, or X-Wing fighter, or let alone the Death Star?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So a few years later, Mego's kind of redoing sort of, everybody seems to be doing this. They relaunched He-Man figures. Hasbro redid He-Man. A bunch of other companies. G.I. Joe came back in 12-inch and stuff. And so Mego came back, and they've got 8-inch figures of TV and movie properties and 14-inch superheroes.
Mm-hmm. I kind of like the General Zod one. I wish I would have got on the ball and got the Zod, because it was like a hybrid of like 70s Zod and Terrence Stamp Zod. It was like literally Terrence Stamp's face, but on his costume was more like a 70s Phantom Zone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I kind of wish I got one of those.
Well, they're still available.
But the bad thing is, 14-inch
Zods are still available. Mm-hmm.
The bad thing is these are Target.
Yeah, they're Target exclusives in the U.S. this year. So there's been 3 waves, 12 figures per wave.
They're doing like Golden Girls and
This, right?
Cheers.
Yeah, they did
Facts of Life.
Yeah, Cheers, Facts of Life. They got some all the Star Trek guys are being reissued.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
But the first 3 waves were Target exclusives in the US. Wave 4 is going to be released in Target, but it's not Target exclusive, so we might see it in like comic shops and
stuff
right here.
That's cool. Well, what was the company that was doing World's Greatest Heroes?
That is Mego.
Okay, yeah, but wasn't there a company a couple years ago that was bringing them out?
Oh, yeah, there's been, a guy in particular, his name's Paul Clark, Dr. Mego, and he's been pushing and pushing and trying to get lines fired off, and his very first one was with Mattel, and those were those, remember a few years ago there was these action figures, cloth retro ones, superheroes and DC superheroes and Ghostbusters being blown out at Winners?
Yeah.
Those were his.
Mm. Okay.
In conjunction with Mattel / Hasbro, I can't remember which, I'd have to look it up. I'm pretty sure it was Mattel. Then when that line died, he partnered with Diamond Select.
Yeah.
And he reissued some of the classic Mego, Star Trek, and the monsters and stuff. And then they went a few steps further, like they made a Picard, they made a Pike, Captain Pike. But they were limited, small run, small production, right, collector thing. And now he's partnered up with Marty Abrams, the son of the original Mego guy. Mm-hmm. Marty is the guy who created the World's Greatest Heroes and all that sort of stuff. He's the one that brought those licenses and stuff in the 70s. And they're relaunching this Mego. But in the meantime, there's another company called Figures Toy Company that used to make wrestling figures and stuff. And they somehow got the DC characters' licenses in 8-inch.
Okay. Yeah,
and they've come out with a ton.
Yeah, because they got that Black Canary coming out.
Canary's coming out. So they've been releasing a bunch of them.
Another character I've become just obsessed with lately is the Creeper. And they got a Creeper one coming out.
Yeah. I've seen the prototype of, like, pictures of the prototype of the Black Canary, but I haven't seen the prototype of the Creeper yet.
Yeah.
But they've got, like, Firestorm and all these other really cool characters that I want. The problem is if you order directly from Figures Toy Company, they absolutely take you to town on shipping. They destroy you on shipping. Because it's like, oh, you're ordering from Canada? Okay, yep, sure. How much is the payment? Great. A day later, you get another PayPal request that says, oh, and you owe us another $50 for shipping.
Oh, wow, that's
and if you try to get it through comic shops, the distributor pays the pretty high fees. Then the comic shop puts their money on, and I saw a Figures Toy Company at Gotham Central. I'm trying to remember who it was. It was either Aquaman, could have been Plastic Man. It was one of those characters that I really wanted, but it was $61 for the action figure. These things are $11.99 US.
Wow.
Like $61.
I'd pay the $61 for a Black Canary one.
Oh, I am. Don't get me wrong. And the funny thing is, These guys did a Bewitched doll, Samantha from Bewitched. Mego just released it. I bought that figure because I think her head looks more like Black Canary. So as soon as the figures toy company Black Canary comes, I'm swapping the costumes.
Okay.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's fun.
No, it's great.
So yeah, when these 14 inches came out, it's like, man, I need another scale of action figures. Like, I need a hole in my head.
I mean, they're $11.
Well, it depends. It's $11.99 for the 8-inch ones that were on sale this past week, U.S. Right. But then you got to get them shipped up here. And if you use International Target, you get dinged some fees. If you use, like, a shipping service, you get dinged some fees. Like, I got one called, what's it called, Ship to U.S. or Ship It North or some of this. Any package that you order, it's got a $30 flat rate fee for customs. So if you're bringing one figure, you pay $30. Right. You're bringing in 10 figures, you pay $30. So it kind
of,
you know.
So is that why you bought a whole box of them in so you could sell them to us?
Excuse me. Yeah.
You did us a great service, Marty.
Well, I mean, just try to keep the cost as low as possible, right? Mm-hmm. So these guys are $19.99 US for the 14 inchers and $14.99 for the 8 inchers, but they were on sale last week.
I know you hate the US, but it seems like there's a huge road trip potential there.
Oh, yeah.
Fill up
sure.
the car.
The only problem is that, like, even like Target has this really weird system, right? And I kind of pieced it together, so I kind of figured it out. But they have a box, and the box has a code on it. And the code is assortment of figures. Right. And in those figures, in that assortment is, let's say, Facts of Life, Star Trek, Cheers.
Yeah.
Wave one. So in it is Sulu and, you know, whoever and whoever.
Tootie.
Wave two, the same box has the same part number. But this time it comes with Spock, whoever, and whoever. So in their inventory system, you know, they see Tootie on the shelf from Facts of Life, and nobody's buying Tootie. So it's like, hey, should we open up this box? No, we got lots of those on the peg. Yeah, so that not. Box stays in the back.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, we're cleaning out the warehouse. Do we, like, send it back to head office? Well, yeah, send it back to head office because it's not selling. Meanwhile, the old, you know, wave one's on the shelf, wave two and wave three are being returned because they have this weird inventory system, you know, and they don't get entered into the individual inventories like by UPC code until they actually open the box. So they really don't know what's in the box.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like wave one box, wave two box, wave three box are identical. They don't know what's inside.
Yeah.
Well, so it's really weird. A lot of people are having a hard time finding the figures in the States.
Well, it still amazes me that there's U.S. exclusive. Like,
oh, for sure.
Hello. We're a whole country up here.
But we're not.
I know, but still.
That's the thing. Like, you know, like, it's easier, faster, more fuel efficient, less expensive to send something from New York to here in Peterborough than it is to send something from New York to California. Mm-hmm. And yet, New York to California, no extra fee, no extra charge.
Yeah.
Can't New York to Canada, customs, brokerage, sitting at the border, clearances.
Yeah.
Last couple of years, all I've done is I just send it to Ken Wheaton's house.
Yeah.
And then he brings it up during Fan Expo.
There you go.
Or,
so you wait once a year to get all your shit.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
I'd go nuts. I got to play with it.
It's like with every, like, you know, the exclusive Walmart comics.
Well, that's the other thing. We got Walmarts. How come it's not?
Yeah.
How come we don't get it? But apparently Canada has a different set of buyers for Walmart than the U.S. does. So we have all sorts of stuff in Canadian Walmarts that they don't have in the States. And then it's vice versa. They have a whole bunch of stuff that we don't have.
Because there was a really neat Justice League Hot Wheels set that came out with Alex Ross drawings.
Oh, yeah?
On. Didn't come here. You know, can't find it on eBay in Canada.
Yeah, there you go.
Right. I've tried twice to get Comic Book Addiction to order it in for me, and they keep ending up getting different sets for some reason. Yeah. It's like, nope, that's not it.
Yeah. Like, that's the only problem, though, too, is there's an X number of collectors. So if we were going to do a road trip and hit, like, Buffalo or something, I assure you that all the New York, the Niagara Falls type area collectors and stuff, that they've gone, pillaged, emptied.
Yeah.
So we'd have to go to, like, a Watertown or something.
Well, that's, see, in my mind, and I've been thinking about this for a while, you go down to New York, Niagara Falls, cross over there, and then drive all the way across over to Watertown and up through Kingston and hit all the Targets and Walmarts you can find.
I'd go, I'd go the other way.
Or the other way.
Would we be going to Rochester?
Possibly. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
You know what's in Rochester?
Louise Brooks's grave.
No, but you know what's in Rochester.
Louise Brooks's grave. That's no. What I want to go to Rochester.
But other than that, you know what's in Rochester?
I don't know.
Hill TV.
What?
Hill TV. Remember Hill TV?
No.
Don't you remember Fox 29?
I remember
always
Fox
had the
29.
Hill TV commercials all the time.
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I remember Fox 29, but I don't remember Hill TV.
Yeah.
No, I don't remember.
Where they always talk with that Rochester accent. You're like, you're just on the other side of the lake. How do you sound so different?
That's right.
I could hit you with a BB gun. How do you sound so different?
But yeah, on my bucket list.
Right here on Hill TV.
One of my bucket on my bucket list is put flowers on Louise Brooks's grave. Louise Brooks is my dream girl.
Well,
she'd
go.
Be like 120 years old if she was alive today.
There you go.
She's been, she died before, like, I don't know when I was like seven, but I always want to go to Rochester to. So if we're passing through, I'm just saying,
well,
make a pit stop to Louise Brooks's grave.
I really want to go to Maine.
Yeah, what's in Maine?
Stephen King.
I've been to Bangor, Maine, and
yeah.
I did the Stephen King tour when I was in high school.
Well, I was talking to a couple at the flea market last weekend, and they were there, and they ended up buying a book signed by King and his son, certificate. It's like a shop, right? It's like $500 for this book signed and with a certificate and stuff. Like,
oh. Yeah, we drove right up to Stephen King's house.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's huge. Big gate around it. It's on a hill, but when you go, you can see it going up the hill because he actually put it like right where you can overlook Bangor. Yeah. Like no matter where you're in Bangor, Stephen King is watching you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey.
Martin, I got taken.
But yeah, I saw the big Paul Bunyan statue, and because he puts a lot of the places in Bangor right in his books, eh?
Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, I can imagine there. Well, I've been to a few, but I can imagine that between Kingston, whatever, to Niagara Falls, there's a lot of neat.
I bet you there is.
Antique places, comic book stores.
There is an amazing. Right? There is an absolutely amazing outdoor flea market in. The Niagara Falls area.
Yeah,
that was so great. We went there on the way back from Niagara Falls that one time, right?
No. This is
no,
on the American side.
Oh, yeah.
It's massive.
Christine and I went to Niagara Falls. We spent 2 days on the Canadian side, 2 days on the U.S. side. And my plan was to go to this huge, it's like south of Niagara Falls, New York, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Is it like Clinton or?
It's something like that. But
Chester.
I had it all planned out.
I think it's like called the Great American Flea Market or something.
All planned out. Okay, we're doing this, 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 and this. And on Wednesday, we're going to cross, or we're just going to go south and go to the market. Well, guess what's closed 1 day a week on Wednesdays? I'm glad we didn't actually go there.
Yeah, that sucks, man.
But I found a couple nice little comic stores, with like five or six little antique places just right around it's like 10 minutes away from the hotel, casino hotel. Lots of great stuff over there.
Lots of great stuff. You got to make sure you have money, though.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, because you don't want to leave nothing behind.
Nope.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Mm-hmm. Remember when I grabbed that, what did I get? Was it Planet of the Apes I brought back for you, and you already had it? I was trying to remember.
Oh, I remember. What was that?
Oh, I can't think of what it was.
You picked up something. I already had it. It was awesome.
Yeah. Oh, anyways.
Yeah.
Oh. Admiral Akbar? No.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I have two Akbars.
I think it was Akbar.
Admiral Akbar is one of the only ones where I actually have two figures. I have one sitting in my with my movie heroes, and I have one sitting with my sci-fi heroes.
And they're like...
Yeah, they're 12 inches.
12?
Yeah, Marty gave me the other one.
Oh,
there you go. I know. Between the two of you, you guys Akbar'd my life. It's great.
Awesome.
Frig, I love Admiral Akbar.
Didn't he die in the last movie?
He did.
That's
he did. I know. It did suck. But the guy who did the voice actor of him also died that year. You know, it's funny how Carrie Fisher dies and everybody makes a big deal about it. But Admiral Akbar dies? Nothing.
No, nothing.
Nothing.
Well, one of the sad things, too, is that he dies with a whole bunch of other people. So you're like, wait a minute. Oh, did he just die? It's like,
well, I remember watching him go into the background.
Yeah.
Like, he walks into the background all of a sudden... The glass shatters and everybody gets sucked out of space. I was like, wait, Akbar walked back there. No!
It's not a
drop. No! and the thing is actually, if you notice that movie, I can't remember which one it was called, The Last Jedi. Was that what it was called?
The Last Jedi.
It was called You're Gonna Cry When You Have to Pay $36.95 for the stupid Blu-ray just to complete your collection.
Well, anyways, I remember if you watch that movie, the entire thing's just a giant trap.
Oh, yeah.
And your reason is because Akbar wasn't there to point it out.
That's right.
The whole movie is just a big trap.
If not, they would have went the other way.
Seriously. Everything is just a big trap. Man. Akbar did not point that out to anyone because he was dead.
That's right.
So, yeah. Of course, he died in a trap because it was a trap and that's what killed him. Why didn't he know?
He didn't know.
How did he not know that?
Oh.
My God.
So I want to talk Titans.
Yeah.
Are you guys up to date? Have you watched
them? I am.
Oh. Jason Todd, he was awesome.
He was pretty awesome. Like, he was pretty badass.
I thought Dick was angry, but Jason Todd is really angry.
Yeah, oh, man, did I ever enjoy that.
He just likes drinking beer all the time.
But you know what? You know they're going to kill him off. I think Jason's going to die in the series, and I'm looking for it. But then they'll bring him back to life as the Red Hood.
It's just taking it.
I don't think so. I think he's just there to forward the concept of Dick turning into, Rick. Of Rick turning into Nightwing.
Yeah, I say he's Nightwing by the end of the series.
Well, I think he'll be Nightwing by the end of the series, but I do believe that they'll eventually kill Jason off. I think it's going to happen. I'm in love in this series, and I love every time they bring a new character in. Like, I love the Doom Patrol episode. That was amazing.
That was great.
That was so great. I love the villains. I'm doing the Nuclear Family, mm-hmm. which weren't Titans villains. They were actually Outsider villains. Mm-hmm. But they're great. Everything, you know, people can, and I really love the woman who's playing Starfire.
I think she's doing great.
She is incredible.
She could change her clothes.
She's not the Starfire we all know and love in many ways.
Incredible set of talents.
But she's amazing. She's so spunky. I just love her. I love Raven. I love Beast Boy. I love oh my God, Hawk and Dove.
I just
hope this thing gets picked up because I want them to bring more characters.
Hawk and Dove is definitely my favorite so far.
Oh, that was so good.
Where are they? Like, I'm hoping they all come back eventually.
Oh, I hope so.
But what do we think about the darkness of the show? It's not for kids.
It ain't for kids. You know what? It doesn't bother me. Well, I find in some ways...
It doesn't bother us.
I find the entire series more interesting than the entire Marvel line of shows right now. And I find it more interesting than all of the DC, like The Flash and Supergirl and whatever.
Well, here's one of the great things about the Titans, right? You got the dramatic live-action show, and it's like all dark and stuff. And right there on the same Netflix, you tune down and you get Teen Titans Go.
Yeah.
So if you want something for the kids, here you go. Here's your little spunky little cartoon. If you want something more adult, here's this. Yeah. So you've actually got two Titans properties online, and it fits. It balances.
Oh, man. I've loved every episode I've seen so far. I really enjoy it. But all I keep thinking about, oh, my God, who more can they be? Like, we need Donna Troy. Donna Troy needs to show up on this thing. I'm a big one of my all-time favorite comic characters ever is Lilith Clay, who is a Titan character. And I'd love Lilith would be fantastic, and she'd be so easy to bring into the series. I want Aqualad.
Yeah.
You know, I want Aqualad. I want Speedy. I want I don't want Danny Chase.
No.
just from a licensing point of view, I could see Speedy never showing up
because of Flash.
Aquaman might.
Speedy is Green Arrow.
Oh, sorry, Green Arrow.
Yeah. Yeah. You're thinking Kid Flash.
Kid Flash.
Because, you know, Greg Berlanti's got the Arrowverse stuff, mm-hmm. right? So he's kind of got. Now, he's involved with Titan, so it doesn't mean it's impossible. And then one big ass, crossover with all of them.
Yeah.
All of them. Run by the guys that are doing the Teen Titans.
You know, that'd
be great.
Not run by the guys that do Supergirl. Run by the guys with Teen Titans. Like, bring them onto the Titans show.
Yeah,
I don't know. Flavor.
So far that show's been... I've watched a couple of... I find one of my problems with all these superhero shows is I watch it for about a season, and then I lose interest real quick. Like, for instance, I've only watched one season of Legends of Tomorrow. I've only watched one season of Supergirl. I've never finished a season of Arrow ever. I never finished a season of The Flash. I never finished a season of Gotham. I think I did finish Daredevil season 2 because the Punisher was in it, but I didn't finish number 1. I don't even think I'm a big fan of Agent Carter, and I don't think I finished season 2. You know, like, I find I get bored of these shows so quick. And I can tell you right now, the only two shows I've ever finished an entire series of is I finished Runaways because I loved it. And I can't see myself not stopping watching Titans.
Yeah.
It just, it hits a sensibility for me, I guess, that I really like.
Yeah.
And maybe it's the darkness. I don't know. But it's even though it's dark, I mean, sometimes it gets kind of funny. You know,
some
light, like when Beast Boy has to get naked all the time.
Yeah.
Which just brings up the point, how did he turn into a tiger, and then he would not be a tiger and he'd have his clothes on?
Unstable molecules.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Oh, wait, okay. Wait, that's that other guy. Never mind.
Yeah.
That was Reed Richards.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, I laughed like crazy in the first episode when Robin took out those guys in the alley.
They've also announced Swamp Thing. Mm-hmm. What else? Swamp Thing, Doom Patrol.
Batwoman.
Stargirl. Are we kind of hoping that all those shows have the same flavor?
They'll be CW.
Or are they going to be... No, they're being released
DC Universe. Oh, really? I could see Stargirl being a little bit more PG.
Yeah, Swamp Thing should be scary.
What I'm excited about Stargirl is that they're bringing in the Justice Society. I mean, we're going to see Alan Scott. We're going to see Jay Garrick. We're going to see Ted Grant as Wildcat. I mean, I'm so excited about those old school characters being brought into it.
They got to get...
Yeah, they are. It's been in, they haven't said who's playing who, but yeah, the Justice Society will be in Stargirl.
Nice.
The latest episodes of Legends of Tomorrow are all based around magic.
Oh, yeah.
So Constantine has joined the show.
Okay.
Which, I love him. He's awesome.
Has Zatanna showed up yet?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. But, yeah. I mean, that actor who plays Constantine should be on Swamp Thing at least.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
At least, you know, a couple episodes here and there, because it should be pretty dark.
Do you know what character I'd love to see them do? I think would be a really fun show. Would be Deadman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the reason Deadman would be great is, I was thinking this one time. I was working through the show The Fugitive.
Wait, they already did that show, Deadman.
Deadman?
Yeah, but they called it Quantum Leap.
Just give me a second here, though.
Yeah.
But follow me. So there was the old TV show The Fugitive with David Janssen.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the complete set. And while I was working through that, I was reading the original Deadman comics at the same time.
Right.
And what was really cool about The Fugitive is that no matter what kind of show the producers wanted to do, they could do. If they wanted to do a Western, they could do a Western.
Yeah.
And they wanted to do a crime drama, they could do a crime drama. If they wanted to do like a heartfelt drama or a sports episode, they could do all these different things. And you just have to have the one character wander into town, solve everybody's problems. The cops almost get him, he gets out of town.
Wait. Aren't you talking about The Littlest Hobo?
Well, yeah. There's so many shows that we can make.
Sounds exactly like The Littlest Hobo.
Kind of does. But
where
it was,
are you going, boy?
But it was The Fugitive. It was David Janssen as Dr. Richard Kimball, right?
Yeah.
And I was thinking to myself that Deadman would be very similar. Like, he's looking for the man who killed him instead of this time looking, well, David Janssen was looking for the one-armed man who
killed his wife. Who he was.
Right? Deadman is looking for the one-armed man that killed him.
Yeah.
Right? And he could go and he could get these different bodies. You could have all these great guest stars. And if you wanted to do a Western, you could do a Western. If you wanted to do a gangster film, you could do a gangster thing. You know, you could do all these different genres of... You know, I was waiting for the circus episode for Titans to bring Boston Brand in.
Well, if they're doing Swamp Thing on DC Network, whatever it's called, I think that's a perfect opportunity to get in Justice League Dark.
Yeah.
Just start. I mean, if the chimp shows up with a big long sword, and a Sherlock Holmes hat, that's going to be awesome.
That's awesome. Detective chimp is awesome.
But Boston Brand and Zatanna and Constantine, that would be.
Also, isn't it somehow in the comics, I think it was a New 52, but they actually kept it going, is that Boston Brand has something going on with Dove.
Oh?
Yeah. She can see Deadman, and they are into each other.
Where was that?
Where?
Yeah.
I think it started off with the New 52, but they've continued it as continuity.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. But I don't remember what series that was in, but yeah, somehow Dove and... Boston Brand
Does he go into Hawk and
no,
Hank?
No. I don't remember quite how that all goes. Hawk doesn't like him.
No doubt.
But yeah, Dove and Boston Brand. I don't know where that. You guys can Google it. It's a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm up to date on Flash. Pretty much Legends of Tomorrow, and Supergirl.
Okay.
Arrow is just I'm like a season and a half behind. It's totally dropped off.
I'm up to date on Arrow.
I've tried to do Arrow so many times.
Well,
every time a new Black Canary shows up on Arrow, I try again.
They're doing this so-called Elseworlds crossover between the three shows. I think they're doing it wrong. Like, all they're doing is Barry is going to be Green Arrow and what's his name is going to be Flash. It's just like...
Yeah, but they're bringing back the Flash from the 80s TV show.
That's about the only good thing.
He's there. Yeah. Superman's going to be there.
Yeah.
Like, the guy who plays Superman and Lois Lane. Supergirl. Lois Lane. It just seems like being a black costume.
There's so much potential in it. Like, all they're doing is swapping costumes. It just seems...
That's because they don't have to pay extra actors.
I know.
Like, it's really hard to coordinate three different casts from three different shows.
Well, that one crossover was great with the aliens. Come
on. I don't know. They do one every year.
What, the alien invasion?
Invasion.
You know, I can honestly say I've never watched one of those crossovers ever.
If you don't want to watch the shows, all of them, try to figure out which ones are the crossovers and watch them. It's pretty cool.
Cool. All right. Yeah.
Now, why aren't those crossovers being released on like a special edition DVD as a movie?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, they should be. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Make it a thing, DC.
Yeah.
It's cool. Get your butts in here.
I don't know. But I think it's cool that DC's coming out with all these weird properties. As I said, like, I can't wait for the Doom Patrol TV. Oh, there's a Secret Six TV series coming out, too.
Oh, sir.
Yeah, and it's going to be like Catman and Vandal Savage and Ragdoll, like all the Gail Simone era of that. I'm hoping Black Alice will show up.
Well, right. Ragdoll was on Flash.
Oh, was he? 2 weeks ago. Okay.
Yeah.
But they're not apparently going to be doing Deadshot, because Deadshot's in Suicide Squad. Yeah. Yeah. So, but there's I think last time she did see her, so she had Elongated Man in there, and it's Black Alice. I'm trying to think of some of the other characters, but yeah, they're going to be bringing in Gail Simone's version of the Ventriloquist.
Okay, Ralph Digby's on Flash.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Does he have stretchy powers?
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, no, he's kidding. Goofy. He stretches and he's goofy. A detective.
Is Sue in there?
He's a gumshoe.
Too?
No.
He's single.
Now. Did you ever see a little Facebook video or YouTube video of a black guy who has, like, he can, like, bend and twist in these really weird positions? I think he was either on America's Got Talent or X Factor, one of those shows.
Oh, is that
he's a contortionist?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And he, like, walks weird and backwards.
They got him playing him?
They got him to do the
Oh, my God. So he does his own stunts?
He does his own stunts.
Oh!
And it's freaky. Like,
that is so cool.
Like, he's walking back, it looks like he's walking on all fours towards you with his head like a dog, and then all of a sudden the head twists around, and you realize that he was walking backwards, and he twists.
God.
Oh, it's a wicked episode.
That's so cool, man. Yeah. That's good casting.
I like the guy on Supergirl, the black guy.
Jimmy Olsen?
No, the new guy.
Manchester Black. Except they don't call him Manchester Black, they just call him Manchester.
I love all this. I love the fact that we were talking about Black Hole.
Where is he from?
Now we're talking about Manchester Black.
The character?
And we're doing...
Manchester Black. I like...
He's a British...
Does he actually...
Was he a Superman villain?
Yes, he was.
He's a good guy, anti-hero.
He's a Batman kind of anti-hero.
But have you noticed we're talking about all these black on Black Friday?
Black. There you go.
Black Hole, black. Manchester Black.
That's right. Black Canary.
Black Canary. How many other characters can you name with black?
Superman in a black costume.
There's, there's Black black Star, Lightning. Black Lightning, Black Fire, Blackula, Black Goliath, Black Cat.
Black Lightning.
And then, did we say Black Lightning?
I don't know.
I don't know. Black Cat.
You guys watching that show?
Black Panther.
I'm not up to date on the new season of Black Lightning. I saw the first season, but I didn't see the second season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Black Annie.
Oh, well, don't look at me. I didn't watch it.
I just love the fact that you've got this cop who's best friends with the guy who's Black Lightning. They've been friends for like ever. And he sees him, but he doesn't know who he is. Yeah. Even though he just has the goggles on.
Let's be honest here, okay? If I came in here with this big, huge snot nozzle dangling from my face, you guys would all pretend it isn't there. So you know this buddy's like... Oh my God, Jefferson! How do you figure I don't know who you are?
If you read the original Black Lightning comics, okay, which I have I got the trade of by Tony Isabella. That guy, I can't remember his name, but he's killed like in the third issue. or something like that. Oh. He's killed really quickly.
Oh, the cop.
The cop, yeah. Oh, okay. But on his deathbed, he reveals to Jefferson that he knew he was Black Lightning along. And but he's killed by the 100 in the first couple of issues. And that's what really spars on the...
Yeah.
It was a short-lived comic series because it was canceled because of the implosion. But... It was a really great, a modern classic, which I think is grossly neglected as being such.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all, there's one trade you can buy with it all. And the whole thing, it's just one storyline. The entire comic series was just one storyline. Jefferson, the Black Lightning fighting against the 100.
Mm.
And Tobias Whale. Is Tobias Whale? In? Yeah. Yeah.
He's the big
Tobias.
Yeah.
Tobias Whale.
Yeah.
And is he an albino?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Because there was that was this whole thing too. This black versus white was a big part of Black Lightning as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's killed off that guy. I can't remember his name. But it was Jefferson's mentor. He's killed off like really fast in the series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you mentioned implosion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember what series. One of the implosion series. They just announced they were going to reprint a deluxe hardcover, and they're going to print one of the missing issues.
Wow.
The 20th issue. Who is that?
Please tell me it's the Green Team.
Oh,
the Green Team!
I got to look it up. Everybody was whining because it's coming out in one of those Bronze Age hardcover omnibuses.
Okay.
And I'm like, dumbasses, every single time they release one of the hardcovers, a few months later, they release it in softcover.
Yeah.
So it'll be out in softcover. Everyone's like, I don't want to buy that for $99. I'm like, A, you're not going to have to. Amazon's going to discount it to $65.95. And B, it's going to come out in softcover. So relax. Unwind your panties. I'm trying to remember what it is, though. It could. Is it Black Lightning?
Maybe. Black Lightning was one of them. I'm trying to think.
Well, Fire... with the show on TV, I wouldn't do it.
Firestorm was an implosion title.
Firestar.
The one that actually was there was one book which actually didn't even get released, where they'd announced it as a house ad, and then it didn't get released, and its only issue was in the canceled comics cavalcade, which was Vixen.
Oh.
And then they ended up popping her into Justice League Detroit, but she was supposed to have her own book.
Yeah, her first appearance was Superman or an Action Comic.
Yeah. How about Commander Steel? Is it maybe Commander Steel? That was part of the implosion.
I got to look it up. I'm sure it's in the DC solicitation.
Please be Green Team.
So you guys talk while I look.
I hate Green Team.
They tried to redo them, eh? Yeah, the new 52 or something or whatever.
That was stupid.
That was horrible. Stupid.
What a dumb... Oh, they wouldn't bring back Swing with Scooter, but they'll bring back Green Team. What the hell is that all about?
Yeah.
Man.
Oh,
man.
Boy.
Yeah. You know, Green Team, what that was about, it was a bunch of... basically, it was like if Richie Rich were a team.
Yeah.
A bunch of rich kids with unlimited money that went around...
Bruce Wayne?
Buying...
Yeah.
Tony Stark?
Things to be good.
Yeah.
Like they saved lives through buying shit. You know, I don't know.
That sounds pretty exciting.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. It didn't. I think it only lasted two issues that never got released either, or something. Yeah. But ugh, yuck. First time I ever saw Green Team was in a issue of Ambush Bug.
Oh,
where
yeah.
Ambush Bug was slagging on him.
Yeah. I just realized what should have been a crossover.
What?
The Littlest Hobo and
The Fugitive?
The Fugitive.
Do, 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 do.
They totally crossed though. It should have been.
Maybe tomorrow they'll... Well, it's funny you mention that. There was a show...
Hobo running around with the one-armed man's artificial arm.
One of the things... Let me tell you something. One of the things that I love... I get caught doing. I love doing. And so you know those Saturday mornings where you don't want to move and you just sit in front of the computer looking at dumb stuff for...
Yeah.
You ever see those videos on...
You just described my work day.
You ever see those videos on YouTube where it's like 36 opening themes to every show from 1972?
I haven't seen those.
And they'll do. Like, they'll have every new show, but it's all the ones that made it and all the ones that didn't make it.
Hmm.
I love that stuff. Or, you know, 70 opening themes of shows that lasted only 4 episodes. I get stuck in those things for 40 minutes at a time. And one time there was a show from the 70s. It was called, and then I go and I look up these shows. Like I go on IMDb and Wikipedia and I end up researching. And that's why I know so much about TV shows that no one knows anything about.
Yeah.
Governor and JJ probably being my favorite. Hello, Larry. Anyways, there was one I found and it was really cool. It's exactly what you're saying. It was called Run, Joe, Run. lasted 2 seasons. Hmm. And it was literally, get this. Okay, so there's this so there's this German Shepherd dog, and he was he came back from Vietnam, so he was like a military dog. Okay. And when he was at the base, he was framed for attacking a guy. Apparently, he didn't attack the guy.
They framed the dog.
The dog.
Wow.
They said that the dog attacked the guy, but the dog didn't attack the guy. So the guy.
So the guy bit his own arm. Blood everywhere.
I don't know. I've never seen it.
And then spit in the dog's face, so the blood was in the dog's face.
So anyways, they let the. So anyways, the guy who brought the dog back from Vietnam, knowing that they were going to kill the dog, lets the dog out, and the dog just goes running. Right.
His name Joe.
Yeah.
Okay. With you now. All right. I'm all up to date.
All right. So anyways, the military is running around trying to track down this killer dog that's running around the countryside, going from town to town and solving people's problems in a half an hour.
Oh, another crossover.
A-team
and Run, Joe, Run.
Right. It's like literally, Run, Joe, Run was like, it was a fusion of meets, the Littlest Hobo meets the A-team. Although the A-team came out like 10 years later. But you know, and it lasted 2 seasons. And you can, if you're interested, there is entire episodes of Run, Joe, Run on YouTube.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
But then there's that song, Run, Joey, Run, from the 70s. You guys know that show about the girl that gets killed? Anyways, just look that up.
Run, Lola, Run?
No, Run, Joey, Run.
Oh, okay.
Run, Joey, Run, Joey, Run, Joey, Run, which is not the theme song to Run, Joe, Run.
Run, Lola, Run, that was that other show where she just runs all the time.
Yeah.
Movie. I did find out what it is. It's the Joker series.
Oh, man, that's
missing
so cool.
Issue 10.
I have the trade paperback of that Joker series. It's pretty good stuff.
So
it already is. Does it have the missing issue?
No. No, there's a trade without the missing issue, which I have.
See, I don't do trades, but I think I'd better pick that one up.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
This is the hardcover, The Joker, the Bronze Age Omnibus hardcover by Jose Luis Garcia Lopez.
Oh, the art in that's fantastic.
Jose Luis Garcia Lopez.
Yeah.
Art by Irv Novik, Dick Giordano. I always said Giordano when I was a kid. Don Newton, Jim Aparo, Marshall Rogers, Gene Colan, and others.
Yeah, it's a good series. It's a lot of fun.
Now this thing, holy crud. This has got Batman 251, 260, 286, 291 to 294, 321, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, so it's a huge
Brave and the Bold,
book.
111, 118, 129 to 130, 141, 191, Joker 1 through 10, Detective Comics, Wonder Woman 280 to 283, DC Comics Presents 41, 72, and more. Like, this thing's huge.
Yeah,
that's an omnibus. 808 pages.
Is it just all Joker stories?
All Joker.
Yeah, those are all Batman and
so
Detective Joker.
I'm assuming it's going to be the Batman, the Fish with Marshall Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
That
there'll be that
seminal moment when the Joker turned crazy.
Yeah, I love, one of my favorite books as a kid that I remember buying was the DC Comics Presents Superman and the Joker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's gonna be here.
Yeah, that's a great book. Uh-huh. It has this great cover where the Joker's being thrown out of a helicopter, and he's telling him, like, "Don't save me, Superman. I'm doing this for mankind."
Now, who wrote that Joker Fish story? I know it was drawn by Marshall Rogers, but who wrote it? I feel like it was Danny O'Neill.
It makes sense if it was,
but I'm not sure if it is or not.
That's kind of the Danny O'Neill era.
But that was like that seminal issue where like people could kind of forget that the Joker hasn't always been
crazy.
Crazy, like he's been evil and he's been, you know, a bad guy and he's been you know, like a criminal mastermind. But when he actually like mentally snaps and shows that kind of, well, I don't know, schizophrenic, bipolar, whatever label we want to apply to him, ADHD, combined type. Whatever label we want to plaster on him, that was the series that it happened in. And a lot of people don't realize that. They're like, you know, oh, Joker. It's like, no, he tried to kill Batman with a big giant phone once. You know? Zapped Batman with a rainbow thing and split him off into different rainbow color.
Oh, yeah,
did Joker do that?
I can't remember.
I don't think the Joker did that.
Somebody did. But yeah, Joker and like Penguin and all that stuff, they were more comical back in the 50s.
Yeah, back in the day. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. If my wrists can handle it, I might buy that. If not, I'll wait for the soft cover. Because obviously they'll split the soft cover up into a couple of volumes.
Yeah. Back in with the old Batman TV series, you know who I always thought the scariest out of them was? Frank Gorshin as the Riddler.
He was awesome.
He creeped me out. You know, awesome. Cesar Romero's Joker was not scary.
No.
And
too calm.
You know, and Burgess Meredith as the Penguin definitely wasn't. But I remember being really seriously creeped out by Frank Gorshin as the Riddler. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now I feel bad because I bought that Blu-ray set when it came out, like the big deluxe one with the theme music when you push the button and the little Hot Wheels. I haven't watched a single one of those discs yet.
You know what my favorite episode two-parter is? It's the one where Julie Newmar is Catwoman in it.
Well, yeah.
And she teams up with, she has a sidekick, with Leslie Gore. And she plays Pussycat in this little pink leotard.
Oh, yeah.
And she sings California Nights.
Well, I thought she got up there and talked about global warming.
Leslie Gore?
Yeah.
Ron Gore?
Was that Ron Gore? Thing is, so Leslie Gore and Burt Ward, like, you know, Burt Ward falls in love with her and everything like that, right? So it's like the opposite of, you know, like yeah. But what was so funny is that Leslie Gore ended up being a lesbian, so she was actually probably more into Julie Newmar.
Yeah.
Julie Man, Newmar. I love that episode, though. That's my favorite two-parter of all time. And
she had perfect assets.
And a little bit of trivia, Leslie Gore, she was William Dozier's niece, I think. And that's how she ended up on the series. Huh. Was it her or was it Julie Strangis? It might have been Judy Strangis, who played Electra Girl.
Oh, yeah.
Because she was in a couple of episodes, too. She used to also be on Room 222. Anyways, I don't know. We might look that up later.
You know my favorite episodes of the classic Batman TV show?
What one?
Any one that had Batgirl in it.
Season 3. Man. Well, we've talked about it. My absolute adoration and love for Yvonne DiCarlo. Like, not Yvonne DiCarlo. Yvonne Craig. Yvonne DiCarlo is Lily Munster. Yvonne Craig. I love Yvonne Craig so much.
Now, for me, it's the movie. I've seen the movie so many times with Lee Merriweather and stuff. But I've seen that movie so many times compared to the TV show. Because, you know, when I was a kid, it was on global late night TV.
It was on
all
City TV all the time, too.
Right?
Yeah.
So they always showed it as a late great movie. And then the disc was available, whereas the TV series wasn't. So anytime you wanted a kick of Batman 66 and you couldn't find it anywhere, you'd pop in that disc. So I probably watched the movie, I don't know, a billion times.
Now, I've met both Julie Newmar and Lee Merriweather.
Yeah, I know about your Lee Merriweather.
Oh, man, that was bad. That was bad.
You've told our radio listeners about trying to mansplain
her career to her. Oh, man, that was bad.
Listen, pretty lady who's gone senile. I know more about your career than you do.
Yeah. Speaking of Batman and bad things, I'm starting to play catch up with the comics. I'm actually making headway through my backlog. And I started with Batman.
Yeah.
I just read the issue where it was a flashback with Robin.
Yes.
It was horrible.
No, I didn't think so.
What was that? The artwork was
Well, the artwork, weird. I think it was Matt Wagner doing the art.
But,
you know, Matt Wagner from me? No, what did Matt Wagner do?
Max?
Matt Wagner. What did he do? Did he do Nexus? No.
No, he did that guy.
Grendel?
No. Simpsons.
No. Comic book artist.
I think it's
Grendel.
No. Anyways. It's like I'm reading two issues about Bruce Wayne in a jury, and then the next issue has nothing to do with that, and it's a flashback to Robin, which I don't even get. Like, I'm going like, what is this? This is just silly. But you liked it?
Mage and Grendel. Mage and Grendel. I thought it was good, but the thing for me is, right, issue 50 was the big wedding thing, and the whole plot is revealed that Catwoman was manipulated by Poison Ivy, who was part of a partnership with Penguin and stuff, this crime cabal, to try to break Batman down emotionally by breaking his heart. Hmm. Since that time, none of that plot line has been introduced in the book. It's just a series of one-shots and two-shots.
Yeah, like, was there a third part to that whole courtroom thing?
I'm not sure if there was three, but it did finalize. Like, basically,
in court with Mr. Freeze getting off, because all I saw was
two issues. Freeze got off.
Yeah, okay, so I'm
because
missing it.
The basic story there was that Batman and Batman's activities were on trial.
Yes,
in the jury room.
Yes,
and I think it was, I can't remember. It's like the commissioner or. Alfred, somebody last panel was like, you know, oh, you just convicted yourself, Bruce, or something Bruce cheesy. Is on the jury, right? Yeah, it is. But it's just been like this series of one shots and two shots that are just not connected to that plot line. Like, what issue are we on now? 56?
57, I think.
Just 57. So 7 issues, and we haven't touched on this this whole Catwoman wedding thing, which is just swept under the carpet.
Yeah, it's weird.
So, I don't know.
But that whole flashback, it just seemed like a forced issue.
Wasn't there a Catwoman? There's a Catwoman book being published right now. Are they dealing with it over on the Catwoman book?
They did in the first issue a little bit, you know, that she was mopey and a little bit heartbroken too. Mm. But that was it.
Mm. Mm.
So, yeah, I mean, it's almost like, I don't know, I'd have to look whether they changed writers or not. But it's almost like somebody just kind of said, yeah, let's kind of sweep that under the rug.
So the whole jury thing basically is that Mr. Freeze is on trial. They want to convict him to be guilty. But Bruce Wayne is there and he knows he's innocent, but Batman did something wrong. So he's trying to convince him to let him get off.
What did Batman do?
Basically, I can't remember the details, but basically it's if Bruce Wayne finds this guy guilty, he's actually charging him for being innocent, even though he's a bad guy who's usually guilty. So then, by making him guilty, he's kind of innocent, but then, Bruce is guilty about making him guilty. That's how convoluted and crazy it is. And meanwhile,
Batman killed his dad.
You know? Yeah. That's how crazy it is.
Like, I've seen posts on Facebook about how people are hating Tom King's writing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting to figure out why they're saying that.
Is Tom King doing Heroes in Crisis?
Oh, that's a good series.
Like, maybe that's what it is. Maybe because he's doing that, they got some fill-in stuff.
I don't know.
Okay. But the episode that you're talking about is basically, it's Nightwing and Batman in modern time.
And
Nightwing is trying to tell Batman, you know, you're a great dad, and I think you're awesome, and you're a great role model, and chin up, don't worry about it. Batgirl's Catwoman's the loser for having dumped you, because that's usually how it works, you know. Woman loses for dumping the man.
Right.
But I digress by real life events.
Yes.
And then the flashbacks are Robin, you know, like Batman showing to Robin the way to go things and demonstrating the fact that he was a good dad to Robin and stuff.
I don't know. It just seemed like I'm reading this court thing and then I was like, what's going on?
Well, that's because, because they didn't gently ease you into it. And I know that's a bit of a problem for you. It's like, plot hole, plot line. What's going on? Continuity.
Interestingly enough, the last episode of Flash with Caitlin Snow, a.k.a. Killer Frost.
Oh, I love Caitlin Frost.
So her dad's on the show. I won't spoil too much. But did you see the episode?
Mm-hmm.
Did you catch the names he threw out there when they were talking about people he's worked with?
What were some of them?
I think the important one was Victor Freeze.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I thought I was quite shocked. Like, oh, that's interesting for them to throw that out on Flash. It was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So that was very interesting. Mm-hmm. But they've named him Icicle. Is that an actual character?
There is an actual character called the Icicle. He's an old Golden Age character.
Okay, is he Killer Frost's?
No,
dog? No, okay. No,
but yeah, he was the original Freeze character, literally from the. I think he was a JSA villain from All Star Comics.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know why you didn't like that Robin issue? Because
it's
all flashbacky. Same reason why we're having problems with Arrow.
I don't know.
Like, I just. How many seasons can you please can you continue this stupid flashback nonsense, right?
Yeah, couple seasons on the island, okay.
Okay. I'm going to spoil the season you're not watching ever so slightly.
Just go for it.
Okay? Cuz
I know he ends up in jail.
He's in jail. That's the main storyline is Green Arrow's in jail. Yeah. Oliver Queen's in jail and it's like the whole jail thing and of course the girls are trying to get him out of jail and blah 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 blah. The subplot is not a flashback. It's a flash forward.
Oh, mind blown!
It's like watching Lost.
Wow. And we got what did they ever call the red Green Arrow sidekick, the guy
Speedy?
Did they ever call red him Arrow? Speedy? Because they used to call they called his sister Speedy.
Yeah, they called the nickname Speedy. I think he was Red Arrow.
Yeah, Red Arrow.
Was he back again?
His real name's Colton. I can't remember what his character's name is.
That was Roy. Roy Harper.
Roy. Yeah. So Roy's back. Old. Black Canary's old. And Green Arrow's son is grown up.
Is he Connor?
They did a time jump. Like The Walking Dead.
And they're on the island.
Whoa!
the eye of the brain. I'm sorry, but let it go. Oh, jeez.
Yeah. But anyways, yes, there's an island. Hey, we got like 3 minutes before we got to tune out of here, and I got closing introduction and some IDs here and the fine folks for the next radio show waiting for us. So we're going to have to take off. That's it for us today. Say goodbye, guys.
Hey, bye.
Later.
This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
All right. Now I got to find the right buttons.
Happy Black Friday.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like The Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?
Level check for Eugene Levy CFFF promo. Take 3.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Good level?
Yep.
Bobby Bittman here. I always listen to Trent Radio 92.7. I love this guy. I really do.
You do one more of those?
Sure. What was wrong with that one?
Nothing. The level was a little high.
Okay. Hi, this is Bobby Bittman. When I'm in the Kawarthas, I listen to Trent Radio 92.7 FM.